morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Power Hour Nation, wherever you may be, from sea to shining sea, from the shores to the shores, beyond the shores, welcome to your redemption. The one nation, Power Hour Nation, that is dedicated and determined to dig out the truth and expose the evil on this planet. And for that, we are truly blessed by the Lord. I can say that sincerely. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory. And there's no greater victory than Calvary and no greater Calvary than the Power Hour Calvary. We're forming posse, and we're going to look into the forensic evidence of what happened in Washington, D.C., one of the greatest, greatest psychological operations probably ever used and deployed on the American people to turn you away from your salvation and your liberty into bondage and slavery. It was brilliant, but evil. So we expose it for that. And we have Daniel here, and because Power Hour Nation has no social distancing rules, there's no quarantine. I don't have to wait in a box for 14 days before I can talk to you, and vice versa. We can shake hands and tell each other we appreciate each other, and that you are in a noble, noble venture to find the truth. And Daniel, God bless you. I loved your soliloquy on Bush. And when I did late night radio in Toronto years ago, I had a great comment. I can't say it on the radio because they're all swear words. From Bush 43, calling me all kinds of names for things I used to say because I didn't like his wars, his deceptions, and his lies. And I took that as a great compliment. And I wish I had it that it was recorded, that I could play it again as my phone message or something like that. Because to me, that's an honor from God that the devil called me all kinds of evil names.
Well, thank you for letting me come in on your time here. I really appreciate what you do, George, and filling in. You fill in so much, and you're a big part of what we do. So I don't tell you enough, and I want to tell everybody on air how appreciative I am of you, George. I wanted to break in because the two biggest stories we've seen over the last couple of days, one is on live TV, Sonny Perdue's vote total went down on live TV, just like Trump. That was stolen again. I've been told that absolutely by intelligence people. Okay, that's number one. Number two was what happened yesterday and how they're trying to use this to flip the narrative and now turn this into a, victimhood mentality. And now let's not talk about what's really important. Let's not look behind the curtain. I just got a video. My wife made aware of me. I sent it to Catherine. She's going to put it up on the site. It is a video of somebody at the rally, at the demonstration, has an actual video of state police carrying Antifa members, in transporting them in their car and escorting them to ground zero and point blank right there at the top of the at the Capitol and around that area, escorting them, letting them go and putting them where they need to be, escorting them. This is very important. And it's going to be up on the site. When she can put it up here directly, it'll be up. She can be able to share this. This is the most important narrative buster right now. They are lying. We had an eyewitness the first hour. We have all this evidence coming in. These are lies. And I just wanted to put that in. And please share that video. And God bless you, George. God bless everybody out there. And thank you so much, my man.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. God bless you.
All right. Have a great show.
Thank you.
I apologize to your guest and have a great...
Oh, there's no apology. We're all on the same team.
All right, buddy. God bless.
Sport. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. That's one thing I wanted to bring up as well. I had a tweet that was sent to me about Antifa being bussed into D.C. with a police escort. The chap filmed his phone, of the phone filming the thing, and I have that posted on my website, conspiracy-cafe.com. Changes my intro a little bit because I like to do an intro, and so I'll start with my intro. A very, very close friend of mine, someone I've known all my life, died yesterday. You all know him. He was loved. He was reviled. He had strengths. He had weaknesses. But he's been my neighbor forever. His name was Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam went to Washington, D.C., and he was stretched out on an altar, and he was slaughtered before a large audience. And his death was used to vilify and destroy the American people by implying that my dear Uncle Sam was somehow deficient or evil, and that the evil that killed him manifests itself as something decent, true, and good. That was just absolutely, totally despicable. But you are not fools at Power Hour Nation. You understand the Great Reset. You understand this Klaus Schwab fiend and his motto, Joe Beijing Biden's motto, Comrade Trudeau's model, and many of the leaders on this earth. Build back better. You have to do something before you can do that. You have to destroy. You have to lay waste, totally gut what was before to build back better. And this is what happened. And I'm very, very disappointed in President Trump. Maybe I've seen him in his true light, and it's not a demeaning statement. When I was talking to James Fetzer last week, he had me on his show New Year's Day, The Raw Deal. There's posts on my website, conspiracy-cafe.com, and the blog site for the government rag to find it, listen to it, and then, of course, on Slipstreams Radio, Revolution Radio. I'm sure they have a podcast file there. And I told James something that might have shocked him, but I said, I look at President Trump like a 19th century dandy. That was a word for a guy like that back in the 19th century. Flamboyant. Like the riverboat gambler. Always dressed to the nines. Lots of panache. But no real substance. He's a showman. He's always been a showman. And that's his virtue and also his weakness. He's there for the show. And at this time, this crucial hour, what the United States needs, what it needed, and what it will need, is a George Washington, a Ulysses S. Grant, a person like General Patton, a man who can stand firm under any storm with the Bible in one hand and the sword in the other, and be prepared to use both as required. If he does not have those strengths, the nation is doomed. I feel in my heart that Trump led us into an ambush. I've probably said this on Power Hour before about the two things you really need to know. I said it in other forums too, is the military dictates of ambush and counter-ambush. Basically, by coming into the street, you're moving an entire army of your followers into a place where the enemy knows you're going to be. There's no operational security. You must provide security for your people. It was well known. The dear sweet woman who researches for me sent me word that Antifa was going to be there and that they were preparing an ambush and that they were going to dress like Trump supporters and do some nasty things. We're just amateurs. But I think we would give better advice to the president. I listened to the Secretary of Defense once, and when I listened to him speak, his language was a bit deficient, I would say, for someone in a position of stature like that. I had no confidence in the man whatsoever. He might be a great command leader in special forces, but even there, he must be deficient if he didn't prepare the president for what was coming. I'm just shocked, really, that people could be in the military and assume some sort of rank and not be able to understand just the very basics. You know Antifa's coming for you that day. You know. And if it was for me to prepare the counter-ambush, I would have had at least 10,000 staunch men and women who are experts at hand-to-hand combat in groups of 50 with a special app to be searching around looking for Antifa, their ways in and their ways out. So that way, on each flank, there's going to be 50 more. So if one gets into trouble, within a very short period of time, there's going to be 150 that we can surround and take control of any ground or any space with these clowns. Because you know, just like the sun is going to rise in the morning, that they're going to be there. And it's old-fashioned, but I want men who are like bikers, do hard manual labor, or in the military and special forces, can lift you with one hand and knock your teeth out your rear end with the other. Game over. You don't move again for months. Then you get into therapy to wonder if you can hold your head up again. Didn't happen. That is sending your army into a free fire zone with no protection. So in regular battle tactics, you'd have artillery support, air support, ground support of one sort or another, but there was no support. They were just led there like lambs to the slaughter. And this is where Trump's weakness comes through. He's not a tactician. He's a showman. And he was only there for one thing, to put on a show, just like P.T. Barnum would do the circus. Lots of elephants, tigers, you know, scantily clad girls, whatever you need. You're going to have the greatest show on earth. But your job was to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and the American people. This is like you're in a sleazy bar somewhere and it's bar fight time. Bottles are broken on the bar and it just flies. Mud, blood, and beer everywhere. He's completely incapable of performing at that level, and it showed. And there was no one around him to do it for him. Antifa got in to the Capitol. There was no doubt about it. I just had to look at the first picture that was sent to me by my webmaster, and I see this guy with the buffalo horns all dressed in war paint and furs. And I know right away, you know, well, there's a typical Trump supporter there, right? You know, you go to a Trump rally, everybody's dressed like they came from some kind of ancient druid tribe in England with raw meat hanging from their lips. You know, come on. How dumb can you be to even think for a moment that someone like that would ever get into a Trump rally or support network of any way, shape, or form? Antifa. All of them. You look at all the pictures, you just look at the way they're acting. They own that building. You can see by the way they move in it, the security was lessened so they could get in. If you tried to do that at any other time before, they'd shoot you dead. Period. Dead. You're not getting in that building. No matter who you are or what you are. And I've talked on this show, and it airs in Tennessee, so hillbilly logic is good. You don't shoot your own dog. When those dogs were in that building, whose dogs are they? They're the deep states. They're Joe Biden's. This was a psychological propaganda operation of unparalleled description. And I'll have to disagree with Uncle Kevin about Pearl Harbor. It has nothing to do with the battle or the death. It was the psychological warfare element that this was a Pearl Harbor. America was close to 100% anti-war. And after Pearl Harbor, within minutes, it was changed to 100% pro-war. And it's the same with this. With this, we wanted fairness in the counting of the election ballots, a return to constitutional principles. All that was turned out. The lies were accepted. There's no justice. Just like that. Just like Pearl Harbor. And a brilliant move on their part. Diabolical. But brilliant. Sometimes I get the feeling the Democrats listen to me more on radio and follow my advice than anyone that would be in the conservative movement. And that's a terrible shame because I speak to save the union, to save the people, to save the Constitution, to save your very lives. And many times things go in one ear and out the other, and nothing seems to happen, except we get caught deeper and deeper and deeper into a trap that you walk into with a brass band in a circus. Now we are at a very difficult crossroads because we don't have a president on our side. When the new one comes in, you're going to see terrible things happen in the future. And you're on your own. It's just we the people against the world as a disorganized rabble. That puts you at great, if it was going to be difficult to win the struggle with Trump as a president, it'll be close to impossible to do it without. But that is what you face at this point in time. And it's, you know, they'll steamroller you sooner or later, so it's liberty or death time for many, most likely. And that's a terrible shame. But we'll see how it unfolds. Anyway, Comrade James, my great sidekick from Toronto Radio, University Radio, and many things for many years, my right-hand man and voice of sane opinion, welcome aboard.
Well, thanks a lot, George. It's great to be back on the show again. And interesting, listen to your comments about what happened yesterday on Capitol Hill. If you go back in the records, you'll see when I was on about 2 weeks ago, I predicted that on January 6th, something of this magnitude was going to happen. I wasn't too sure what it was, but I was told by my sources on January 6th, look for a significant event to unwind itself. And from the same source, I was told probably in the second, no later than the third week of this month, there's going to be a food distribution shortage, which means the price of food has gone up astronomically high at this present time. And come the second, maybe possibly the third week of January, you're going to see a big time shortage on the distribution of foods, not only in Canada here, but in the U.S. as well. So everybody, you know, you see people lining up for the toilet paper and the paper towels. It looks like this reality from past is coming back to haunt us again in the upcoming weeks or even months.
Well, the big thing is you can't eat toilet paper, so you can always wash your cloth and do it the good old-fashioned way. The leaves are frozen up in my part of the world, so that's not an option right now. But we are facing this food security. Max Egan talks about that a lot in his show. We have Max on the show on a regular basis. And Max has been quite under the weather lately. He's working himself, hopefully not to death. And I would ask the praying people to pray for him that he recovers his health and gets back on the front lines with the vigor and vim that he's had in the past. And he speaks about this as well. Food is a weapon. And what they're going to do is say various food animals, like the pigs, the chickens, the cattle, or anything else, are infected with COVID. They all have to be slaughtered. And a major, major reduction in the availability of food and the cost for it. So take that to heart. Another great thing is scout out, because by the same token, panic sets in, they close certain stores or types of stores. Try to find out backup sources, farms, you know, warehouses, because it might be a thriving black market and stuff. Why throw it out? You know, that you could deal on the loading dock with someone who owns a warehouse that distributes food, you know, to get by. Start thinking about backup plans. And try to stay out of a place where you're going to walk into the big trap as best you can.
Well, it's very interesting. You mentioned food, George, that, recently I saw on a website that they're going to start, we're talking about probably the shortage of beef, and McDonald's can't get their so-called beef to produce their hamburgers. They're going to be serving, now this stock from this company is on the stock market, they're going to be producing meat that's going to be raised in a pewter dish or another dish that's very familiar to the pewter dish. They're going to lab-raise meat, and they're going to be serving this lab-raised meat to restaurants, which is the company doing this, has got a site on the website, as well as being traded on the stock market. So, you know, look out for your lab-produced meat coming out to a restaurant very soon to you.
Well, I always harp back to that classic old movie, Soylent Green, when, you know, we get into that sort of thing for a menu, that that's what they're preparing for, and that they will feed us almost anything that's deficient to try to weaken our bodies, to make us more vulnerable to disease, which is the primary factor. And there was a great documentary that was free. It's probably not free now. It was called Secret Ingredients that I watched recently. A friend sent it to me. It's chilling. Gets into the glyphosate issue, GMO foods, and how this is like a major source of most of the diseases we know. Heart disease, cancers, hardening of the arteries, diabetes, organ problems, joint problems, like you almost pick anything, autism, Alzheimer's, that these poison ingredients just completely muck up your system. And I can't help but think, because it's allowed to be used with reckless abandon, that it's being done on purpose. I am a firm believer in the human race is being genocided. And changes to the food, the use of toxic poisons in the food distribution network, whether they be herbicides or GMO-type things, are done purposely to bring us physically to our knees. You know, the accidents like Fukushima that's so far down the memory hole nobody remembers anymore, but to put toxic radiation in the air to get us sick, to be in the ocean on the fish, to be in the ground that our food grows in. Anything that can be done is being done to genocide us. And I deeply believe in my heart the injection is a step to that, that they are purposely planning to put something in our body that will weaken it. There's been a lot of side effects that are pretty nasty. The fact that this is being forced is just rather scary. It completely violates the Nuremberg Code. Anyway, we're coming up for a commercial break, Code, and you can support the Power Hour by listening well to these commercials and do good things for your health. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks for coming out.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining me in this hour, James Harp, one of my faithful sidekicks for eons and eons since we were in the Batcave together. Welcome back. We are facing probably the greatest dilemma in human history, with the power of the Mandarins. That could almost be a pun, because some people think there is an element of that involved, to completely control your mind, your thoughts, and everything about the world and how it is interpreted through TV and that's other media. And that's something I've been trying to warn you about for some period of time, is to learn Marshall McLuhan, the Canadian media scientist from U of T, the great mind who influenced presidents of networks on how to control your mind. But the most important thing is in his private letters, when he wrote to a priest in Montreal, he said, the prince of the air that's described in the Bible is Satan, of course, and the airwaves are the media, the TV, the radio, the social media. Is it any wonder they're trying to control all your thoughts and spread all these lies? He said Satan would be the world's greatest electrical engineer. This is one of the most brilliant men to come out of a Canadian university, bar none, period. And we are pretty much totally unaware. It's like trying to go into, any type of fight with no concept of how anything works. And you walk in there blindly and try to do your best. They got you beat before you even walk into the room. So you have to know these strategies, these tactics, these techniques. And he also said World War III would be a guerrilla information war with no distinction between military and civilian forces. Hello, we're in it up to our necks. So that's something to keep in mind. One of the other big things is I've never been a fan of the white hats.
or any of these concepts that put in a psychological element for you to stand down. It's, I had a funny one when I was on Jim Fetzer's show, is, you know, it's just like your mom does the laundry and you're used to piling it up by the door. And she's been dead for 10 years and you got a big pile there, but keep expecting her to come back and do the laundry. Isn't going to happen. You got to do it yourself. It's your time now. And this is very important. There are no white hats. You're the white hat. You got to look in the mirror and see if you measure up. And if you do, you're the white hat. There is nobody else. And if you don't, they win because they put out these crap stories. I got one sent to me today. I double-checked it and found out it's not true, that Trump went in a special military plane to Abilene, Texas. He's going to redo his strategies and take on the fight, and they're going to arrest all the evil ones. Everybody told me yesterday that are into this stuff. They're going to arrest Biden yesterday and haul him away. It's all BS. Okay? John Jr. was killed in a plane crash. He's not coming back. You got to do it. His father was killed in an assassination. You got to do it. And one of the most important things, I did this on a show last year or the year before, is the Democratic Party is not a political party. Okay? Get this down. I wish I could scream at you like a drill sergeant and swear a little bit sometimes, you know? Can you hear me? It's not a political party. If you look, and it's not an opinion, it's a fact. One of the biggest assassinations that had the greatest influence on the world today is a smaller one, less known. And when I stumbled upon it, it was just kind of out of the blue that the Lord led me there. Dianne Feinstein had a concealed carry permit. Warning, Will Robinson, warning, warning. You know, I'm like, what? So I looked that up, and yes, she did. Back in the days when she worked as the equivalent of a city councilor, I forget what they called them, in San Francisco. And there were two assassinations. And I watched the movie about Harvey Milk and then saw it and could see all the holes because we study assassinations all the time. Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone were shot to death. Looks like they have a patsy. But as I read into the evidence, there was two distinct wound trajectories. One close up, coup de grace, and the other one like farther away, fending off, and two different styles of bullets. Well, those are revolver days. You only got six. So you don't have a whole lot to play with. And she owned the same make, model, and caliber of gun as the shooter. So I get the feeling, not saying he didn't do it, but I think he fired the rounds that were across the desk, hands up, to deflect them, the wounding shots that brought the men down. Feinstein got into both rooms, and her story is as full of holes as the bodies on the floor. She said she put her fingers in the bullet holes to try to save their legs, or lives, pardon me, and their last wound was a coup de grace shot to the head, blew their heads off. So there's nothing to save. You just walk in there and you just go, ooh, they're gone. There's no, and you're not bleeding anymore either because you're dead. Might be some seepage, but you're not bleeding anymore. The heart's not beating because your brain's not there anymore. So she's lying. She and another woman whose brother-in-law was on the council too, Pelosi, are pretty much running the country. Who ran the California Democrats back then? Anybody ever used to drink Kool-Aid? Jimmy Jones, the People's Temple. Jimmy Jones controlled the political establishment of the Democrats in California. That's why the party is run as a cult. That was going to be my lead-in for the guest we were supposed to have today, who was repositioned to another date because he was 13 and a half reasons not to be a liberal. And this is the bottom line. They're a cult. They're run completely and totally like a cult. Whatever the cult leader says, they have to follow that mantra like a robot. They can't say no. They're prepared to kill and die for any of this stuff. You are not. You're waiting for the guy in the white hat. Well, it's so bad you should be waiting for the guy in the white coat to take you away. Maybe you'll have a nicer place to stay than Camp COVID. It's time to, like, you got to step up to the plate. It's time to start moving up here in the world. What you can think, what you can act at, what you can react at, improve your physical condition, improve your mental conditioning, understand psychological warfare, and be prepared. When all this crap went on, Trump told all his supporters to go home. And can you imagine Omar Bradley just off the shore at Omaha Beach on D-Day? And you're running into some terrible resistance. And then the news media turns on you and says you're the aggressor invading a passive Vichy French government. Everybody go home. Huh? I guess I didn't hit my head hard enough. He should have known right away. Antifa's in there. They've captured the Congress. And tell all the supporters to go in there, grab everybody in there, and hold them under arrest until they can all be properly identified and interrogated. That's how you win a war. You know, the reason Ulysses S. Grant was put in to the top job by President Lincoln was he wasn't sitting on his duff. He was moving his armies. He was daring. He was winning because he wasn't sitting on his butt waiting for somebody else to do it like most of the other generals who were all losers and getting men killed for nothing. You need daring. George Washington had to have great daring because he wasn't even a country when he was fighting the world's biggest military power. You had to have daring with pittance for forces, but a brave heart and a great ideology and a great thought. That's how you win wars. That's how you form and forge nations, your nation. You didn't do it with the remote control on your TV going from CNN to Fox. You needed daring. And that's where we, the people, fail. We've lost that. It's not even something to even think about. And that's what they're coming for next, your thoughts. One thing out of the blue I don't like to use the enemy's playbook, but if it works, use it. I was watching a video about protests in Spain, and a woman was quoting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that the UN put together. I went, huh, I never read that. Maybe I should. So I did. You have a human right, the right to an opinion. That is in the declaration. So when they tell you that you can't have your opinion as a church pastor to say something, you also have the freedom of religion one as well, that you can be whatever you want to be or think of, you know, God in whatever way you want, well, they're violating your human rights. And you can't hold it up to Antifa to say, oh, see, those founding fathers were slave owners. No. Communist leaders of 1947 said this. The ones that you adore and beg and plead. And between countries. I think somebody's playing around with my basic human rights as dictated by the great global government wannabe. Very interesting. Use it if you can. It's good cover fire. Because it puts them in a corner they can't weasel out of too easily. Because all these countries signed on to this, and they believe in global owning. As they say in the marriage ceremony, speak now or forever hold your peace. Or I guess, in America's sense, your pence. Hold them to the fire to get some semblance of reality. Anyway, James, something you'd like to add?
Well, George, after watching that debacle of Capitol Hill yesterday, after the show, there was a lot of senators and congresspeople saying that we should initiate the 25th Amendment to actually remove Trump from office for his incapability of running the country, and therefore Vice President Michael Pence would be taken over for the last 2 weeks before the inauguration of Joe Biden. I'm just thinking, why do they talk so much and not initiate? If they feel that this president is not in control, is not capable, actually one of his aides said that he is not mentally fit to do his job. Now, if they know this, why don't they incorporate the 25th Amendment to relieve this man for the last two weeks of office, and Mike Pence will take it over. He'll be the patsy for the last 2 weeks before the inauguration. And it's very interesting that they seem to blame everybody else, but they have a power. They have the power to initiate this 25th Amendment to remove Trump from incompetency. Why don't they go ahead and initiate it? All they do is seem to talk, but nobody seems to take the hold of the steering wheel before it hits the iceberg.
Well, by and large, I don't look at him as incompetent. If we were in a world that was fair, decent, and honest, Trump would have been probably one of the best presidents we ever had, as the guy to have babies bounced on his knee to try to run a fair and equitable world. It's just he's up against an enemy, both foreign and domestic, that is trying to usurp the power of the country, of we the people, completely and totally make us subservient to this power. Most of it, from an international perspective, is communist China, communism in general, and the agitprops that are within the country working to that end. A lot of it is part of the rich people reset. I had a video, I guess we got time to play it, is the Great Reset. The Premier of Alberta spoke on Facebook. Amazing. Trump can't. And he told the world, all world leaders were sent Klaus Schwab's book about the Great Reset and COVID, and to use it as a mechanism to bring in their change, their new world order. And he was just flabbergasted. So it's pretty down-to-home kind of speech from the premier of one of our provinces, one of the western provinces. And, you know, like you said, this is no conspiracy theory. They're taking over the world. They asked me to participate, and he won't do it. Now, when you see all the other people bringing you in this stuff, you know they were approached too. And just like when Satan took Jesus and they went on a little walk and he puts his arm around him and he says, all this can be yours. These guys say, yes, I'll take it. And what's going to be theirs was yours. That's the whole thing, to destroy all wealth, all money, all economies, all countries, and make them feudal gods on vast land holdings while you sit home anesthetized and drugged, living in fear, under house arrest, and probably worse. New York State, I have a video on my website there, you know, was passing a thing where, you know, no habeas corpus, they just take you away, force drug you, can take all your property. And this was a bill that was supposed to be, with all the stuff on Capitol, I didn't even look to see if it passed, that they wanted to bring this out in America, the land of the free. And this makes what King George did in that century look like a joke. It's just taxation without representation and a good elbow in the stomach when you disagree. But it wasn't anything compared to what's being done to us now. Nothing. And this is by allegedly sort of our own people, and I doubt that very severely. Do you have time to play the video, Todd? Todd?
Okay. Well, I'll touch on something before Todd gets to the video, George. Recently, because of this COVID-19 numbers in London, Ontario, the deaths have been so big that they start storing the bodies in outside trucks. They haven't been sent to the morgue. The morgues are overrunning, and they're sending the bodies outside trucks. There's so far they got, and they've been doing that now for over 2 weeks from the deaths in the hospital. So it just makes me wonder, you know, they're starting to stockpile the bodies in trailers or in trucks, waiting cremation or waiting funerals. And the funeral parlors are backed up, so what are they going to do with these bodies right now? It's just atrocious.
Oh, okay. We'll listen to the Premier of Ontario, and then we'll talk about that, whether it's agitprop or not.
First of all, what is this Great Reset? Pierre Poilievre, the federal conservative finance critic, recently raised concerns about this, and then he was attacked by some in the media and by the liberals for supposedly circulating conspiracy theories. Well, The Great Reset is actually the name of a book by a very prominent advocate of it. His name is Klaus Schwab. He sent me a copy. I guess he sent one to probably every government leader around the world. And Klaus Schwab's thesis in his book is that governments and societies, the world, should, quote, seize the opportunity of the public health and economic crisis to reimagine the world and radically change policies. Now, in what ways? I would describe it as a grab bag of left-wing ideas for less freedom and more government, for more government intervention, for policies that would, I think, create massive poverty, particularly energy policy, policies that he is advocating. So Klaus Schwab, by the way, is the president and founder of the World Economic Forum, also known as the Davos Summit. I call it the biggest gathering of global hypocrites in history. It's the it's a little ski village in Switzerland, and every, I think, February, a couple of thousand super rich people, a lot of billionaires, millionaires, global CEOs, and politicians fly into Davos, with hundreds of private airplanes. They go into Switzerland, and they spend a week basically lecturing the rest of the world, including especially working women and men, about how they should reduce their carbon footprint. The hypocrisy in that crowd is so thick you can't even cut it with a knife. And so, no, I'm not going to be taking any policy direction from Klaus Schwab or his ilk. And what I find offensive, look, the so-called Great Reset is not a conspiracy theory. It is a actual set of concrete proposals being advocated by some very influential people, and including, apparently, by Prime Minister Trudeau, who clearly alluded to it, referred to it, quoted from it, the Schwab theory, in a speech he gave to the United Nations a couple of months ago. So it's not a conspiracy theory to talk about that. Those are the folks advocating it. And I think it's perfectly legitimate for democratically elected leaders, for me to say, heck no, we're not going to exploit or take advantage of a crisis to advance a political agenda. If we're actually all in this together, like we keep saying, then how about we focus on the crisis, on protecting lives and livelihoods, helping people get through this, and how about after that, instead of exploiting the crisis to impose on democratic societies a whole bunch of failed socialist policy ideas, how about instead we get refocused on generating economic growth, on recreating some of the trillions of dollars of wealth that will have been destroyed, of restarting some of the hundreds of thousands of businesses that will have gone under, of obsessively focusing on getting the millions, the tens of millions around the world back to work. Those who have suffered most in the COVID era have been the poorest around the world. So the notion that we would then drive them further into energy poverty through Klaus Schwab's policy agenda is, I just frankly find it offensive. So no, it's not a conspiracy, and nor is it a conspiracy theory. I think it's just very distasteful and regrettable that influential people would explicitly seek to take advantage of a crisis like this to advance their own political vision and values.
Okay, you heard it from him. You could vote for a man like that. Do any of your politicians talk straight like that? Not too many. He's the only one I've heard that I know of. Anyway, that's all I see in London is the transport truck trailer. We had an issue like this in Ottawa, too, where they said the morgues were full and they were just parking bodies anywhere in common areas, even in hospitals. It looks to me like more agitprop and propaganda to try to imply this. In Italy, where they had, you know, tons of bodies piled up like this, the real story was that they had to cremate the bodies, and they normally don't do that in Italy, and there was a giant backlog to get it done, and that's why they had to bring in the army and the army trucks, plus the funeral homes were locked down. So they couldn't do it. And then the media gets it and spins it into there's a mass death fatality rate much different than there was before. And quickly, too, I'd like to just offer a quick eulogy to someone who really died. Well, Uncle Sam died, too. But it just breaks your heart. A young man named Moses Demian, and they always like to pick on people with good Christian names like Moses, goes out for a coffee Saturday night. The police come up to him and, you know, just say, what are you doing out in the street? There's a curfew. There is no curfew. They're talking about it, but it's not there yet. He told them where to go. They punched him in the face. He got arrested. So it probably wasn't the best answer to have. But with all the traumas going on, unfortunately, he decided to take his own life, and he killed himself later. And the sad part is with the propaganda matrix, as I found in a small community newspaper, the Lake Superior News, that Ontario is counting all suicides as COVID deaths. So we drive you mad, you kill yourself, and then we take your death as a number so that we can deprive more people of their liberties and force them to kill themselves so we can count more people. It's not madness. Absolute madness. It's one thing to use a crisis. Like you say, Democrats always said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Hey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Know what I mean? Know what I mean? This is just absolute hell on wheels being unleashed by what we think are governments that are supposed to be fair and equitable and represent the people. Not a hope in hell. And hopefully they join Comrade Bush in the place that Daniel was talking about in the end game. Anything to close up with, James?
Well, you mentioned the curfew there a little bit earlier on, and they haven't any mentioned it. Apparently, Quebec, the province of Quebec, is going to be on lockdown starting this Saturday. And our Premier Doug Ford has been hinting, and it probably come through about a lockdown or a curfew coming by the end of this month. So look out, the rest of Canada, especially Ontario, there's going to be a curfew coming up within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, look out, everybody. As I said, when this started out, it's like Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, Gulag Archipelago, Gulag everywhere you go, because they're taking over the world. And only you can stop it with Power Hour Nation. I'm George Freund. You know where to go. You know where to come. This is your nation. No 14-day waiting period. Thanks for coming out. Bye-bye.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2.